those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the Blogulator.com and Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network, this is Blogulator Radio.
Blogulator Radio.
I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid because we talk about TV every week, and yeah,
we're smart.
And we're really smart. Really, really intelligent.
Really, really intelligent.
Yeah. So, it's late September, and TV shows have been premiering like crazy. I say premiering with an apostrophe because I'm cool.
Right. We're young.
We're young and hip.
We know what happens.
And, yeah, exactly. So, shows have been starting, and we've watched most of the new shows. I still haven't seen Two Broke Girls, which I tried to get everybody to watch last night, but we'll try it again another time.
We were at my parents' house.
Yeah, yeah. Shows like Whitney are as bad as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
Shows like Up All Night are good, mostly.
Yeah, mostly good.
Not a big fan of Maya Rudolph on that show at all.
Could have done without her.
Yeah, yeah. She was.
And is she supposed to be an Oprah character? Is that like Dub or?
I think.
I mean, I know she's a talk show host, but is she specifically supposed to be an Oprah character?
I think Oprah, you know. Her character on the show is Ava, named Ava. So.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because of the scene where she's eating her feelings. And a pan of brownies.
I mean, it's very, it seems
and
very.
And we all know that Oprah has struggled with eating issues. She's very open about that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think you're right. And her scenes
if
seem very
If she is,
broad.
Then it's kind of mean for Oprah.
Yeah.
Because she's.
Her scenes seem very kind of broad to me.
Yeah.
And in a way that's distracting. And I'm not looking forward to Nick Cannon joining the show later on. His little clip of the show where he was, like, on the show within the show was kind of. Annoying.
Nobody likes Nick Cannon.
No.
Is that...
And who would?
Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Sure.
I'm sure that's not true.
Yeah. Anyway, Up All Night. We've said a lot of bad things about it, but I do really like Will Arnett. And surprisingly, I don't usually like Christina Applegate, but I really like her in this show. Yeah. Maybe even a little more than Will Arnett in this show.
Yeah, she's good. I have no ill feelings toward Christina Applegate. I mean, mm-hmm. Married with Children was just a stupid show. There's nothing she could do about that.
Yeah, it's not that. It's more like the stuff that she's done since
then. Like what?
Then.
What has she done since that? That one where she has amnesia or something?
Anchorman? I don't know.
Oh, she was fine.
I guess she's fine.
Well,
I don't actively love her.
Up All Night, though.
That's true. Yeah.
We're actually coming to you this morning and talking over our pancakes, so we're going to be eating some pancakes and talking
Banana
to you.
Banana pancakes.
We're in our jammies, and it's because we're talking about a couple of shows that I think are dishes best served, TiVo'd, and watched the next morning for Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings.
You might say that it's a dish best served cold.
Might say that about Revenge and also Ringer.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both, Ringer is on the CW, or, whoa.
CW.
Is it still the CW?
Yeah.
Not the WB. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Ringer is on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on the CW. And
it stars,
And Revenge is on Wednesday nights at 9 on ABC.
On ABC. Oh, Revenge is an ABC show?
It sure is.
Wow, I wouldn't have thunk that.
I know, right?
They both seem like CW shows to me, and they're both the kinds of shows... that I enjoy back when we had a recording device on our television to watch them in the mornings while I ate my pancakes on a Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, they're definitely both those kinds of shows that don't require a ton of hardcore attention.
No.
The way a Breaking Bad or a Mad Men.
Not even
a
little bit.
Or a, you know, HBO prestige show does.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are big, I would say some really big differences. Thanks, Bridget. I made them myself.
Mm-hmm.
Big differences between the two in that Revenge is has potential to be a very good show.
You think so?
And Ringer is definitely a terrible show.
Yeah.
But they're both shows that I really am excited to watch.
Mm-hmm. We each took a bite of pancake right there, so...
Yeah, that was poor planning.
yeah, we watched Ringer when it premiered. Is that right? on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we watched Revenge on Hulu.
Yes.
Last night.
So, let's talk a little bit about...
Let's start with Ringer.
Yeah.
Because that's more... That's the one you watch when you're still kind of groggy and you've just gotten your coffee. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of your warm-up show. Because you can maybe, like, check your mail and, like, do dishes and, like, make the pancakes while it's on. And you don't really have to pay that close attention.
Right. So what's Ringer, what's the premise of Ringer originally?
Well, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar, who I almost just called Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure...
Same diff.
Hey... I don't know on whose behalf I was just offended. So.
And that actually doesn't make any sense, so never mind. Keep going.
So, Sarah Michelle Gellar, whom you might remember from a little show called Buffy.
The Vampire Slayer. Right.
She plays two characters in this. It really stretches her as an actress, because she's playing the part of twins. Siobhan and Bridget. And
that's
may
your
I just
name.
Say it's about time... television. Of course, Bridget is an alcoholic, maybe ex-drug addict, ex-stripper. So, there we go. And she spells it differently.
And possibly being chased by the FBI.
We're not totally sure yet. So, Bridget is the unsuccessful twin. Siobhan is the successful twin. At the beginning of the episode, Bridget is going to visit Siobhan. She falls
asleep. Siobhan, like S-I-O-B... H-A-N, or do you pronounce that with a V? I've never been clear. That's how
Siobhan,
it's spelled.
Siobhan? Mm-hmm. That's how it's... Well, she says it's Siobhan.
Right, but in all the promo
material... Well, like, who's that singer?
Siobhan...
I'm thinking Sinead.
Oh.
Sorry. Also right. Spelled funny.
Yeah.
Well, because they're both Irish names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
Anyway, so she goes to visit her. They're on a boat. It seems like they're kind of reconciling after we don't know how long being apart.
Mm-hmm.
Siobhan is, like, part of that super rich, nondescript, in a city. Where does it take place?
New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole thing seems very nondescript. But anyway, yes, she's rich, they're on a boat. Bridget falls asleep for a while, and when she wakes up, Siobhan is gone. And for some reason that I can't remember, because I was probably busy doing something else while this happened, Bridget assumes that Siobhan commits suicide?
Yes, and it's not for any particular reason other than Siobhan is gone. She must have committed suicide. I guess I should go to New York and assume her life.
Right, and not gone like she finds her dead, like gone, like disappeared. So she assumes she's jumped overboard and killed herself, because that's what I always assume when I fall asleep and wake up and no one's there.
Well, she was, to be fair, she was on a boat.
Happens every morning when Mark goes to work.
Right. Quality. To be fair, she was on a boat.
Sure.
And there were empty pill bottles on the floor.
Why would you OD on pills and jump overboard?
Well.
Just to make sure.
Yeah. And usually empty pill bottles just mean that you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
So, even though there would be no reason from what their interaction was before to assume... that she would do that. Also, I just have to point out that the acting, when Sarah Michelle Gellar is talking to Sarah Michelle Gellar, is fantastically bad.
You can just close your eyes and it's like she's just talking to herself.
Right.
Because there's no differentiation between the two characters. It's just Sarah Michelle Gellar talking to Sarah. I mean,
there is differentiation in that Siobhan has her hair up. And Bridget has her hair down.
No, but I mean in her voice, in the acting
right,
style.
Right,
right. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's great.
I was being a little snarky there.
So anyway, I didn't catch that.
Ha ha ha.
So anyway, Siobhan is dead. Bridget is like a fugitive?
Yeah, because...
For something?
Well...
So she decides to assume Siobhan's identity because...
Well...
F that, she's not going to go back to her crappy old life.
Okay, so she has some danger because some... guy is chasing her. She was living in Wyoming before and attending AA meetings. And there's some guy who's chasing her. Some Native American guy who's chasing her.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And so she gets away and takes that opportunity to not be sad about her sister being dead, but instead
not even a little bit.
Just to, like, decide to assume her identity.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons that are still unclear. And I don't know if that's a storytelling problem or if it's because we'll find out later.
And right now, we're telling you what sounds, I'm sure, extremely convoluted.
Oh, yeah.
And it is. This is not our retelling it incorrectly.
No, this is totally.
And it goes on to get weirder and weirder from there. There are murders. There are a lot of goosebumps. Mm. Cliffhangers.
Yes. At the end of...
have we seen two episodes?
Yeah.
We've seen the first two episodes.
So at the end of the pilot episode, of course, the show starts with kind of in medias res beginning, where it starts with somebody... with Sarah Jessica Parker in this case Bridget, mm-hmm. assuming Siobhan's life, getting attacked by somebody in an empty warehouse, and then of course it goes, you know, 6 months earlier,
which is so wonderful.
Which is a similarity to the structure of Revenge. Yes. However, Revenge effectively uses that structure much, much better. We'll talk about that uh-huh. in a little bit. But anyway, so it ends with ending that scene. At the very end of the pilot, where Bridget shoots the man who is attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the second episode, her new friend, who is Siobhan's friend, who, another thing, is nobody who is in Siobhan's life seems to at all recognize the fact that it's actually a different person.
Right.
Bridget. Not what?
Not even a little bit.
Not even a,
you're acting weird.
Right.
She just totally, and she's asking all these questions.
All these really, stupid questions.
And everyone is giving her, and us, the audience, just, like, tons and tons of, unquestioned expository.
Right, right. Well, obviously,
it's like if I came
Siobhan,
home one day,
you sure are acting well and, today.
Well, it's like if I came home one day and was acting totally weird, like I didn't know Qualler or anything else about my life, and right. Qualler would be like, aren't you going to go to work?
Well,
and I would be like, is that something I normally do? And you'd be like, yes, you've been working at this place since this time. These are your jobs, and these are your major complaints about your boss. And you just were telling, nobody...
Yeah.
So maybe Siobhan was prone to blackouts or something.
Perhaps.
We don't
know. Hopefully. Hopefully the writers explain it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Siobhan's obviously not dead. She's controlling things somehow in Paris. Not sure why she's in
She
Paris
wanted
still.
To fake her own... Did she want to fake her own death? Or did she want Bridget to assume her life? Or is she trying to kill
still
Bridget?
Still doesn't make sense.
I don't... Yeah.
Anyway, back to those goosebumps.
So Siobhan is kind of evil.
Yeah, she's bad, but we don't know why yet. But anyway, those goosebumps cliffhangers are great, because that scene where at the beginning of the second episode, her friend comes and what we assume is that she's going to discover... that Bridget just killed a man. But when the commercial comes back, when it comes back from a commercial, it's okay because she's just surprised that the loft that she's working at isn't as well constructed as she thought it would be. So it's all okay.
So what Qualler's describing is a typical Goosebumps.
Right. The Goosebumps
from chapter,
style.
From one chapter
R.L.
to another
Stein,
chapter.
Goosebumps style. Yes.
Yeah, so it'd be
transitions.
Like, oh, Siobhan just killed someone, and then someone from behind her says, what's going on here? Cut to commercial.
Right.
Come back from commercial. What? What's going on here? This place isn't in any shape for a party yet.
Right.
Phew, got out of that one.
Yep.
That
happens.
And that's what they do.
At least three times in the second episode.
And that's what they do in the second episode. They throw a party. Mm-hmm. And there's the dead body, because she killed that guy who was trying to attack her, who was sent by Siobhan?
Yes.
I'm unclear on that. Or
Maybe.
Was he trying to kill Siobhan?
No, because... Oh, I don't know. I guess I don't know. Because we assume that the attacker is attacking what he thinks is Siobhan.
But then we cut to Siobhan.
But she's in Paris.
Oh, is it Siobhan?
Siobhan, I think.
Yeah, it's weird. And the logic, we decided, is kind of like dream logic. Like when you're having a bad dream and then you're trying to retell the dream the next day and you're like, okay, and this doesn't make sense, but in the dream it was really, you know, scary and of course made sense.
And
so,
specifically, Bridget decides to hide that body in a trunk, in an antique trunk.
In the warehouse
in
where
the
she's going to throw a
party.
Like, and just put it in a different room?
Yeah, and nobody seems to notice that there is, like, there would probably be a really bad smell.
Right.
Of a dead body coming from the trunk.
Right.
And yet nobody seems to notice. And then blood...
At one point, a fat man sits on the trunk and we all have a little bit of a scare.
Right, but
at
it's okay, because Bridget takes care of
it. A cell phone rings.
Which is...
When her husband, Siobhan, husband, and of course, Bridget's pretending to be Siobhan, so she's trying to... So her husband? I'm confused.
Siobhan's husband.
And a woman who we think is having an affair with Siobhan's husband?
No.
Is that fair?
No, it's a man who is having an affair with Siobhan.
Oh, that's who's giving the speech?
Yes.
Are you sure? Well, the cell phone rings? I thought that was her husband.
Oh, no,
and
that's,
that woman.
No, that the woman is her, is Siobhan's friend, and her husband is having an affair with Siobhan. So in the pilot episode, in the pilot episode that her Siobhan's friend's husband,
it's as confusing as it sounds.
Yeah, Siobhan's friend's husband came up to her at the I think it was the Natural History Museum in New York, and was like, "Hey, baby, I sure do love you. Let's secretly kiss." And of course, Bridget as Siobhan was like, "What? Oh, yeah, of course we're having an affair. Yeah,
that's
what?
Normal.
What's going on?"
And he was
figuring
like,
it out
basically, I mean, I'm exaggerating. I'm using hyperbole a little bit, but it was basically, I don't recognize that you're acting weird, and I'm going to remind you that we're cheating on your husband together.
Right. It's all very convenient.
It's just, yeah. So anyway, those characters who I haven't quite... So it's the woman, that the man who's having an affair with Siobhan.
Right.
And his husband? I mean, his wife.
Yes.
His wife. Siobhan's
His
friend.
Wife is Siobhan's friend.
That's the dark-haired woman?
Yes.
And they're up giving a speech.
Yes. And the phone rings.
And the phone rings.
And for some reason, everybody is really, like, shocked and appalled that a cell phone is ringing during this speech.
Which, at a huge party like that, in a warehouse, like, a huge, was it like a fundraiser-type party, I think they would just keep talking.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
the speech would just keep going.
But everybody in the whole crowd
Everyone
was just appalled.
It was just silent. Right. This crowd of, like, 100 people. And, oh, where's the ringing coming from? Oh, of course it's coming. And then, oh, it sounds like it's coming from inside the trunk.
Cuts a commercial.
Because we're all, how is she going to handle
and
this
one?
And then
come back from
and
the commercial.
And she just totally handles it easily by going over and saying, oh, one of the working people must have dropped a cell phone in the trunk. I'll just open the lid where, like, facing away from you guys and find the cell phone and turn it off, and that's fine. And then when she did that, though, you know, crisis averted, everyone was like, oh, breathed a collective sigh of relief because the cell phone ringing had stopped.
Right. So offended by cell phones.
Yeah, we hate it. But right then, a sneaky-looking character kind of walked by.
Yes.
Right?
And then there was a little trickle of blood coming out. Right?
Yeah, later in the party, she noticed there was blood leaking out of the trunk. And so she had to just go clean that up with little napkins. And it's just,
it's
I mean,
good.
That was the part where we started thinking this is just like dream logic. It was
right.
Like, okay, so there's this guy that I killed, and I put him in a trunk?
Yeah,
and
like,
of course,
nobody noticed
that he was in the trunk. Everything was.
I was really worried about it.
And then blood.
And then at the
leaking.
Very end, the body was just gone.
Oh yeah, at the very end of the party, she thinks, "Oh, I've gotten through this." Everyone's like, "Oh, you've pulled this off, Siobhan." But there's an FBI person.
Yes, played by Nestor Carbonell from Lost. Richard Alpert.
Awooga, and he's
still got those eyelashes.
Investigating Siobhan for some reason.
Yes.
So Siobhan is in some kind of trouble, which is probably why she faked her death and went away.
Yes.
And probably why she purposely left Bridget there to assume her life.
Yes.
Because she doesn't really like her troubled sister.
Also, there are a lot of flashbacks, which is another thing that Revenge uses, but uses it much better.
Right.
Because Revenge actually, and we'll talk about Revenge in a little bit, but one thing that Ringer does not do well at all is use flashbacks to tell us anything at all interesting about Bridget or Siobhan.
Well.
Because we learn is things that we already knew, which was Bridget was an alcoholic and Siobhan was kind of stuck up. And Siobhan, I guess the only thing we learned from those flashbacks was Siobhan used to live in Wyoming with Bridget.
Right.
And they used to go to bars together and now... blah, 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 blah.
And here's one thing that is making it, I don't want to say believable is the wrong word, but I guess less unbelievable. This whole nobody seems to notice that her twin sister is stepping in for her life is, we don't think anyone in Siobhan's life knows that she had a sister. Or a twin sister.
Right.
Because at first we were like, oh, they're twin sisters.
Obviously,
if you knew that I had a twin, and all of a sudden you came home and I was acting really weird, wouldn't you think maybe it's her identical twin?
Right.
But we think maybe...
Or even just things like you pointed out, when Bridget sleeps with her husband, like, wouldn't he notice, like...
Bridget sleeps with Siobhan's husband, because she's pretending to be Siobhan.
Right, yes, thank you. wouldn't her husband, like, think, wow, you're kind of doing it differently than usual?
Siobhan. Right.
You sure are loose and a lot less...
Stop it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's weird because it's... And it makes me sad to think that if I were Siobhan, I'd feel sad because even the most supposedly intimately involved person in my life... My husband and my lover. Neither of them notices that it's right. not me. It's my sister. So
and one other, yeah.
My sister who's been totally estranged from me for a long time, so who yeah. wouldn't even really know how to act like me, I'm guessing.
Right.
Or doesn't know all these details of my right. life. So it's not like a really close sister who could just step in. It's a estranged sister right. who just looks like me.
And the last thing I want to point out that's wonderfully bad about it is the use of mirrors. Lots of, because, you know, people have more than one side to them.
Oh, is that what that learning. Means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the duality of human life.
Right. As exemplified.
Right.
Or personified?
Personified.
In the case
by
of twins, right?
Right, exactly. So, anyway, Ringer, it's bad. If you're into really bad stuff to watch.
It's bad, but it's
It's like bad,
bad.
It's bad. I would say it's bad in the way that The Room is a bad movie. It's not quite as hilariously over the top bad as.
But
as
it
the
might
room.
Be.
But it's getting there. It's getting there. It has potential.
And what I like about it too, and I actually am a Sarah Michelle Gellar
and she's,
fan.
I think
she's doing
capable.
The goddamn best that
yeah,
she can with that
she
role.
She really is.
She is really.
It's just really terrible writing.
She is really acting that part as well as any person could act that part.
Possibly,
I mean,
yeah.
she seems like she's really earnestly giving this her best shot.
She is.
And I appreciate that. So it's also. But. You know, usually a bad show like this that would take itself seriously would annoy me. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't seem to.
Yeah, just because it's so ridiculous.
Right. So, anyway, Siobhan is being hunted by the FBI, played by Richard from Lost. So now Bridget is being investigated by the FBI, and
yes,
the party ended, and the FBI agent went home. But I'll still be watching for you, and
yep.
everything was fine. She slept with her husband. Oh, and she's finally being nice to Siobhan's stepdaughter?
Yes.
In a way
that... was supposed to be this is why Bridget is being nice, because she also
the flashback.
Used to be an alcoholic.
So Siobhan and the stepdaughter obviously had a horrible relationship. Bridget is like, why do you hate me, stepdaughter? And she's like, you're a bitch, Siobhan, but it's not Siobhan, in case you can't remember.
Right.
It's not Siobhan. It's Bridget.
Right.
Let's
talk about
well, I just want to,
okay.
this one last, the okay. duality.
The duality.
Right, so right. Bridget is obviously, at first glance, the bad twin, and Siobhan is the good twin. Because Siobhan is wealthy and successful, and
right.
throws parties, and married, and Bridget is an ex, you know, recovering alcoholic ex-stripper.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, yep.
But what we're learning, here's a twist for everyone, is that Bridget is actually the good twin.
Right.
And Siobhan is the evil twin.
Right.
Right?
That's the twist.
So Bridget is actually coming into Siobhan's life and being nice to all these people and finding out that Siobhan is actually doing a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
More bad stuff than we know now, obviously enough that she was investigated by the FBI and had to ditch town.
Right.
But so she's starting to be nice to the stepdaughter and everything, and yeah.
yeah.
All right, I could talk, yeah, I like Ringer.
It's bad, but it's good.
Now moving on briefly.
To
Revenge.
Which is... good and good.
I can't believe that's an ABC show.
I know. But it kind of fits ABC's mold of sometimes they have shows that are kind of really deliciously pulpy, serialized, which I like, kind of dynasty style.
Wow,
rich
way to
people.
Bring up dynasty. How old are you, Grandma?
Shut up. rich people who are scheming against each other. I would say that there are a lot of, on the surface, similarities to Ringer, which is why we're talking about the two of them together, in that...
They're both adult Saturday morning cartoon shows.
Right. Both of their pilots start with those in media res openings. However, unlike the Ringer in media res opening, the Revenge opening appears to be... what will be the final episode of
right.
the season.
As opposed to the final scene of the first episode.
Right.
So it goes back to 5 months earlier, as
right.
opposed to later in this episode, we'll find out what happened.
Right. And similarly, it's about lifestyles of the rich and famous types of things, except that in this show, there are actual soap opera style,
mm-hmm.
I will caveat soap opera style, but there are still stakes involved for people, and there are actual motivations for people to do things.
That no one's killed anyone, hid the body in a trunk, and totally been cool with it.
Right, exactly. So
there is also a case of assumed, or not assumed identity, but pretending you're someone you're not.
Right.
So the main character, we find out through flashbacks that, like Qualler said, are much better done.
Because the
flashbacks actually fill in stuff that we need to know about the plot, as opposed to...
And we learn about things about Emily, who's the main character, why she came back to Southampton, New Hampshire.
You sure her name's Emily?
Her assumed name is Emily, but her real name is Amanda.
Yeah, that's right.
Why she would come back to town to start exacting her revenge on people who live there. And it starts out kind of silly, and there's a kind of a queen of the city named Victoria, who is played by Madeline Stowe, and she's very, very, very good in this role. Bridget's going to step away. Anyway, so it's very interesting in that she comes in, Emily comes into town, and she says, or she kind of befriends people in town, and we, the viewer, learn a little bit about why she's there as it goes on, and Victoria, I'm really stumbling
I'm
sorry. Somebody get me a life vest. So...
Siobhan could have used a life vest.
Siobhan definitely could have used a life vest.
Or could she have?
I don't know.
Or is it Bridget who's been firm the life vest?
I don't know. Anyway, revenge, she...
Okay, scoot over.
This is terrible. I'm terrible by myself.
I was trying to give you a chance to step into my life and take over. You could never pretend that you're Bridget.
No.
And what if I need you to do that, Qualler?
No,
okay, so revenge, the character of Emily, who's actually Amanda, goes back to the rented, like, ginormous, it's hard to even call it a beach house because it's awesome.
But it used to be, what we learn in flashback, it used to be her house.
Right, when she was a girl.
When she was a little girl.
So she went back and she's renting that same house that she spent summers as a girl. But then we also find out through flashbacks that those happy summers when she was a child with her father were interrupted when her father was arrested by the FBI.
Yes.
And taken in for murder. I'm not really sure exactly. We'll find out what happened.
Insider trading.
And
for sure.
I thought she said murder. At
yes.
some point, or framed for murder, right?
But what she was doing in the episode is she was rewatching news clips from when he was arrested, and people were talking about how he, David Grayson, he was the head partner of a hedge fund, and how he just ruined everybody's finances.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of what he did. We don't know all of it yet.
Yeah, probably murder. I'm going to say murder.
There's probably a little murder accused, at least.
Yeah. And so Amanda / Emily is going back to this place in order to get revenge for her father and to kind of find out maybe what really happened.
Yes.
And kind of bring these high society people who think they can just walk over everyone else and do whatever they want.
Yes.
Without any, you know.
And what makes
ruining
it...
worrying about the lives they ruin.
Yes. And what makes the pilot effective is... It doesn't just say, she's getting revenge because she's mad. There is the twist that, she reads the letter from her dad that she gets when she comes out of jail, when she has, she came out of jail and she had black hair, so I assume she's in jail for being goth.
Right, this is another flashback.
Another flashback, yes. But
like juvie.
But she reads a letter from her dad, which means that her dad is dead. But in the letter, he says, please find some forgiveness for people. And she says, I can't find forgiveness.
Yeah, she says at the very end of the episode, she said, this is not a story about forgiveness.
Right.
So she's there to kick some ass and take some names.
Right.
Or whatever the expression is.
Yes.
But so it's set in the Hamptons. It's more, like Qualler said, lifestyles of the rich and famous. Or, I'm sorry, honey, what show did you compare it to?
Dynasty.
Oh,
shut up. TV history. Give me a break.
And, yeah, and she's there. Nobody recognizes her because she hadn't been there since she was a little girl. So right. She's interacting with these same families.
So that makes a lot more sense than
a twin
nobody recognizing
that
Bridget
it's
Chabon.
Yeah. So the one person that does recognize her is someone who, at first I said, well, that's unrealistic. No one would recognize her as a little girl. But then we find out that he actually had been in contact with her
as
a teenager.
Yes.
As a young woman.
And it was a guy who had started his own company that kind of flamed out. And at the beginning of the show, we think, oh, this guy is just kind of a bum who's just kind of a one-note character. And then at the end, of course, we learn, oh, he's actually a lot smarter than we think he is.
I feel like we're doing a lot of expository this episode.
Well,
I hope this isn't confusing. For those of you who have seen the show, listening to this, hopefully it will make sense. For those of you who have not seen these shows, don't consider any of these spoilers, because what actually happened, even though we're spending a lot of time talking about what's actually happening in these two shows, it's only to illustrate how gloriously soapy both of these shows are.
Yes.
So none of these are things that should deter you from watching. If you haven't seen Ringer, watch it while you eat your pancakes on Saturday mornings. And if you haven't seen Revenge, same thing. I think this is going to be a good show and go places. It is a little bit more realistic, but still totally soapy. There's an evil woman who lives next door to Emily Amanda
Victoria.
Who's kind of the
queen bee of the town.
And she's already exposed that Victoria's husband was having an affair with another woman, and we find out that she's actually really sneaky and, like, snuck into a hotel room and gave the guy a fake heart attack. So
Amanda did that,
right? And
so that was her first kind of getting revenge on somebody thing that happened in the show, which was interesting because it kind of sets up possibly what I'm hoping is making the show a little bit procedural and a little bit serialized.
Yeah, so maybe
in the way that Dexter is, except that instead of killing people, she doesn't necessarily kill people. She just gets revenge. So in this case, what she did is she got revenge on the wife who was...
Not on the wife, on the woman who was having an affair with Victoria's husband.
Yes, the woman who was having an affair with Victoria's husband. She got revenge on her by somehow getting Victoria's husband to have a heart attack.
What seemed like a heart attack.
Wasn't a heart attack.
Because she put something in the soup.
Yada, yada, yada. Their affair got exposed.
Yeah. Having a heart attack right after they were doing their affair thing.
Right.
Again, this is convoluted, but the show itself is not. Ringer, it was hard to describe in a way that wasn't convoluted, because Ringer actually
is
convoluted.
Terribly convoluted.
Revenge, even though we're doing a poor job of telling you what happens, is not actually... Do you hear that cell phone, Qualler?
Yes.
Where's that coming from?
Let me go check it out.
Maybe it's coming from that trunk over there?
Oh.
Is that...
Let me... it's probably a worker who...
Do you want me to get it?
No. I got it. Okay.
Are you sure?
I got it.
Because
yeah.
I can...
Yeah.
Oh, it stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we're fine.
That was weird.
We're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Ringer actually is convoluted. Revenge is not. We're just describing it in a way that seems...
They're both good, but Revenge is actually good, if that makes sense.
And they're both kind of good in the same... They both kind of hit the same note for me. They both feel good in the same way.
But Ringer completely does it all wrong, but it's... I like entertaining train wrecks like that. And Revenge, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a hit.
And it's already gotten good ratings in its first, in its pilot, so I'm excited about that.
The pilot was really good. I thought the pilot actually did a good job of having some action moving the story forward and giving us enough, like, flashback to kind of, by the end of the episode, you understand where that character is coming from.
Yes.
And what she's going to do.
Yes.
So we also find out that her father, who is dead now, who told her, don't get revenge, forgive these people who ruined my life and your life, basically, he was involved with Victoria as well, and Victoria was the one who really decided to bring him down. But, of course, it takes a village, so this whole community of the Hamptons, it seems like most of them have a reason for her to get revenge on them. And I like what Qualler said about it being procedural and serialized.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so each episode, maybe she'll tick another person off her list, right? Get revenge. But at the same time, as that goes, you're progressing towards something as a season, right? So we're going to probably learn more and more about her. There's a budding relationship between her and Victoria's son, who she knew when she was a little girl and he was a little boy. And I think she's supposed to be in her 20s, like her early 20s.
Yeah.
Like college aged.
I think so.
So we'll see where that goes, if that's going to get in the way of her revenge.
We'll find out.
But
I'm excited to find out.
I am too. Yeah. Thank you for joining us over breakfast.
Mm-hmm. This is Squalor.
This is Bridget. Our opinions are valid.
One last thing. Blogulator Radio is brought to you in part by Netflix, where you can stream your favorite TV and movies from your TV, computer, or many other devices as often as you want for just $7.99 a month. You can start your free 2-week trial today, and you go to bit.ly/blogflix. And doing so helps support independent netcasting like us at Fancy Pants Gangsters. Thanks for listening. See you next week.